Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Thank you for tuning in. We've been looking at the first principles of Christ and the importance of understanding them and growing in them, and it's exciting. And so we're laying them down, and we're going to help people grow and understand this, because when you understand this, it helps everything else come together. So, y'all had a good week? Let's see, I went to the gym. Been working out. Anybody else been working out? Did you start? Well, I'm going to work out this year. No, but let me ask you this. How is your fasting doing? Here's the thing. Fasting is a spiritual exercise, okay? It's a spiritual exercise. And, you know, we've been doing, what we've been doing, sweetheart? We've been doing soup. Eating a lot of soup. No meats and no sweets. We even went to the new Olive Garden. Yeah, Olive Garden. And we got soup and salad. You know, stayed with our fast. And you know what? I tell you what, no sugar. You just feel better. Sugar's not good for you. You know, I like my cookies and I like, you know, but sugar's not good for you. Here's the thing. When you fast and you give up things and you start thinking about God more, He starts to show you some things that are going to help you get healthier in life. You see that? He's going to show you some things because you're more in tune. You see, that's what hunger does. It causes you to be more in tune. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to be hungry for Him and His will and His ways. Now, an exercise, there's spiritual exercising, meditation, you know, sanctification. But also this idea of fasting is huge. We start out every year because we want the year to be, we want to get some direction personally for where God has taken us. So now, it says in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits little, but godly exercise profits much. For it profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. See that? So now, what's the word exercise mean? Remember? It means gymnasium. It comes from the word gymnasium, the Greek word. Gymnasium. That's what exercise means. That's what the Bible says. So you could say gymnasium. You seeing this? So now think about this. Bodily exercise profits little, but godly exercise profits much. For profits for the life that now is and the life that is to come. So now get a hold of this. If I go to the gym and I see Caleb and he's in there working out, and I've told him, you know, you need to get in and do your bench presses, and you need to, you know, do some curls, and you need to do some back squats, and you need to do all this, okay? And I go in, I talk to him, and then I just go all around the gym, and I start talking to everybody. But I'm not doing any exercise. I'm not doing any back squats. I'm not doing any benches and no curls or no push-ups. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going around talking. See, I'm not doing any exercise. See that? So I'm not getting any stronger. And that's what happens with our bodies. They start to atrophy. You know, you start, I'm 69. I'm about to be 70. What do you think about that? You don't want none of this. But now think about this. If I didn't exercise, I look at some people my age sometimes and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to keep going to the gym. You hear me? It helps you. Little, right? But godliness, spiritual exercise, profits much. For profits for the life that now is and is to come. So now I tell Caleb all that. I don't do any of it. Oh, that's a hypocrite. Isn't that what you call a hypocrite? You're going to tell me and you're not even? And you're walking around here? You're getting the idea of exercise? Is it really important? It's important to do bodily exercise, but it's also, you know, godly exercise. And when we really begin to understand that, things change. It really does, because if you're not doing the godly exercise, you can be falling apart like a $2 suitcase when you face problems in life. But when you've been doing godly exercise, you're going to face problems. Listen to me. We're believers. I was thinking about this week. You know, as believers, we go through things. Because you're a believer doesn't mean you're not going to go through anything. I've had people think, well, are believers supposed to go through that? I've had them say this in my office. Well, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't have to. What? Listen to me. We go through everything everybody else goes through. Our outcome is different. Look at me. Your outcome is different. Huh. Remember Sarah? 90 years old. Abraham and Sarah in her 90s. Almost 100. She's having a baby. That's my mother-in-law's 93. What if she walked in here and done had a baby? You listening to me? Donnie said no. But I'm trying to show you something. So, outcome. Now, here comes Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. They told him, don't be praying. He's just doing a godly exercise. Because God told him to pray. He's praying. They said, you need to keep that. You know, don't be public with that. You know, so people, you know what? Listen to me. Someone said, you know, this my faith is private. It's private. You know, I don't need to be publicly with my faith. But he was. They would told him to pray privately. Don't do it public. You know what he did? He opened all the windows. He wanted everybody to see that he was still praying. Amen. He wanted to make, because that's the way God is. God don't do things in private. He wants to, every time Jesus performed a miracle is publicly. Publicly. Every time. It's not about. He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. That's strong. So we do things publicly. I'm glad to know Jesus. Now think about this. So Daniel's in there. And they said, well, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. They threw him in there. Next morning they come, well, let's go get Daniel. They go in there and they look. He's in there, he's rubbing their belly. And they're back there, oh. A little bit lower. Oh. They're enjoying. You see that? Nothing happened to him. Godly exercise. The three Hebrew children. Well, we're going to throw you in the fire. know what? My God is able. They threw him in the fire. Got to looking in there. So it looks like the Son of God is in there with them. They came out of there. They didn't even smell like smoke. The people, some of the people died just from the heat coming out from throwing them in. And when they came out of there, the king that had them thrown in said, we're going to worship the God of Abraham, of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And all of them began to worship their God. Outcome, Joshua, go around the, I want you to march around the wall 7 times. The walls are going to come down the 7th time. They're marching around there. Can't you see them? Yeah, they think he's loony or a bowl of granola. They didn't know if he was a nut, a fruit, or a flake. He's going around circles. So then they start shouting, just like he said. The walls came tumbling down. And they entered into the promised land with all the promises and all of his family. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you see something. This is huge. When we understand outcome, God cares about your outcome. You know, I've been through a lot here, up in this church. People say, man, you ain't gonna make it up here. All you going through, outcome. I've been here almost 26 years.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Right.
I'm more excited today than I've ever been.
Good.
And look what the Lord has done. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Outcome. God cares about your outcome. And he will let you know that he is with you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're going to go through some things, just like everybody else in the world. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will make a way of escape.
Amen.
That you may be able to bear it.
That's right.
So he says, no temptation such as common to man. Common to man means everybody's going through a lot of the same things you're going through. Everybody. How you responding to it is what God is looking at. When we respond to it his way, he gets involved. We come out better. Better. Anything God does in your life, it's always going to be better. Better. God doesn't have you sacrifice something. That's why he says, if you're going to take up your cross, that's a choice. You make a sacrifice. He's not going to give you something inferior to what you sacrificed. He's going to give you something better. I'm spitting. Are you listening to me? Are you catching what I'm saying? Did you get what? Now, I haven't even got to our message. But we're going to have to do our vision. People used to say, well, why do you do that every week? Because that's what they do in the Bible. That's what Nehemiah did. They stood up and read the word of God and spoke the vision. So let's do that. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit, bond of peace. Now, God doesn't do anything without vision. Remember, vision is a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. And that's what happens when you come to a church where the truth is being prophesied and spoken of you. It's prophetically uncovering things in your life. And see, what that happens, some of you get uncomfortable, but really, it exposes some things. But really, it's just God wants to show you some things he's trying to help you with. Not to run away and never go back. You see, that's condemnation. God brings conviction. So you can make some adjustments. And God will help you in that area of your life. Come on now. That's what vision's for. If you keep seeing it your way, you'll never accomplish God's will. It has to be God's way. And that's why we need vision. And it also means a prophetic redemptive uncovering. It also means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church. That's what vision means in the Greek. This is why we got to understand vision, because everybody wants to see things the way they want to see them. But we can't. It's not going to be your way. It's got to be His way. Amen? And that's the good news. That's why we need the Bible. All right. So let's go to our foundational scripture there in Hebrews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Bible says you can exercise your senses. You see that? Your emotions don't have to control you.
Right.
You know what? You're controlled by what you're full of. If you're filled with the Spirit, you'll be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
If you're full of anger, your anger is going to lead you.
That's right.
If you're full of jealousy, your jealousy is going to lead you.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said? If you're full of greed, your greed is going to lead you. That's why we got to exercise godliness. Got to go. We're in the gym right now.
Yeah.
Just bump your neighbor and say, "You're in the gym." All right. Now look. This is how you're going to discern good and evil. It's clear that a lot of you watch some news and it's like, man, people that can't even see the difference between evil and good. That's the day we're in.
Yep. Sure is.
All right. Give me the next one. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All right. Go back to the first one there, yeah, or 14, or 12, I'm sorry, yeah. Look what he says. We ought to be teachers. We've been talking about this the past few weeks. You know, we ought to be able to teach the Bible and help people understand. And you need someone to teach you again, he says, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk. Remember the milk, the word milk is the word gala, and it means baby food. Baby food. So, you know, babies, you know, they get crying when they want their food. And that's how you get a church full of a bunch of new Christians. Man, you better watch it. They'll say things that hurt you. They'll say mean things because they don't know yet. And that's what's going on. Now look. The milk. Now, it says they're babes. The word babe is the word napios, Greek word, and it means not able to talk. In other words, they don't even know how to talk yet, spiritually. When you don't know how to talk, you're going to hurt people. You'll judge them. You'll criticize them. You see, all that's not acceptable in the things of God. But when you grow and mature, you find out you don't want to do that anymore. Because God has given you mercy and grace. Why should I point out your mess? You see that? What did Jesus say? Get the log out of your own eye. I like one translation says, get the telephone pole out of your eye. You see that? Yeah, you need milk and not solid food means you're growing, you're maturing. So this is what we're talking about. Give me the next one. Everyone partaking of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Remember we talked about that? It says they had a zeal for God in Romans 10, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You see, when you don't have solid food, you're ignorant of God's righteousness. And what's the word ignorant mean? I don't know what I believe. And it's the Greek word agnosos. It's where we get the word agnostic. So when someone says, I'm an agnostic, they're telling you, I don't know what I believe. Okay, with your bad self. Don't you get involved in that. Say, I'm going to go on with what I know I believe, right? So that's the idea. So now look. Unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Nepios. When we're unskilled, we go around and talking about something we know nothing about. And this is why we got to grow and mature. So now let's look at this. Give me the first verse there, if you would, in Hebrews 6:1. And we're going to extrapolate some things from there. All right. So now let's look at this. Believers who fail to learn the fundamental truths of the Christian faith often face struggles down the road. And it results in faulty ways of thinking. In turn, it results in wrong decisions. Wrong decisions. So you make wrong decisions. See, this is why God tells us in Romans 12:1, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So God wants us to change the way we think and says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way we think. Are you with me? Now, many of the bumps and twists and turns in the road we encounter would have been avoidable had we just been exercised by the truth. Are you with me? By the truth. Now, what's truth? Truth is, what's the word truth mean? It means nothing concealed. You're not covering anything. Or it means reality revealed. Reality uncovered. That's what truth means. Reality would be what's real for you. That would mean what God put you here for. Did you hear me? Did you get what I heard said?
Yes.
Truth shows you, who you are. Now, think about this. Exercised by the truth. Now, look, 1 Timothy 4:7 says, listen to this. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. Exercise who? Yourself towards God. Now, that's not up there, but you just have to stay with me. I'm throwing out some verses. I do that, and you can write them down and be up there, and if you want to look at them afterward, you can get with me. But I'll make sure you get, but I'm not going to give you anything that this word isn't saying. I'm not,
right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, and I'll get moving, I'll get on a fly, and I'll just, it's in there. So, exercise by the truth. When we begin to apply the truth, what happens is, the truth shows you those areas that God would like us to work on, right? Now, give me Jeremiah 1:5, and then we're going to go back to this verse, okay? Give me Jeremiah 1:5 real quick. Now look what he says. This is powerful. Catch this. Before I formed you in the womb, before you were in your mother's womb, I'm going to tell you what, the first time I got that revelation, I bawled. I just really was taken by it. Because I blamed all my problems on my mom. Because she had nervous breakdowns and she had some mental illness problems. And I blamed all my problems on her. Because she couldn't take care of me. Because she couldn't give me cookies before I went to the bus. And she didn't make sure I had the right color, the socks that matched. She didn't. All these things. I blamed all that on her. But when I got this revelation, I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter who your parents were.
Right.
Doesn't matter what your dad did or didn't do.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what your mom or mother did or didn't do. God used them. I always say it like this. If you were conceived under a bridge in a Volkswagen with the floorboard rusted out in a thunderstorm at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you were conceived there, God has a plan.
That's right. Amen.
And you never knew your parents. God has a plan. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
That's right.
Oh, we got to get that. You're a spiritual being living in a spirit, in a body. I formed you in the womb. I knew you. He knew you. Before you were born, I what? Sanctified you. Oh, get that. He said, before you were born, I sanctified you. What's sanctified mean? Set apart for God. I set you apart for God. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Ordained means authorized. If you don't have any authority, your children don't want to listen to you because you don't understand what we're talking about here. Because when you start understanding this, your children are going to want what you have. And they're going to understand, they're going to look at you and want to be like you. Listen to me. I sanctified you. Sanctification, in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, he says this, but we are bound to give thanks to you, brethren, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth.
Amen.
Did you catch that? And belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the gospel does. It's good news, not good advice. It's good news that calls you to be you. And it's calling you through the truth. And it's sanctifying you, setting you apart to be everything God puts you on this planet to be. To destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? He created you for good works, which he prearranged beforehand that you should walk in them. Now listen, that's what sanctification does. That's why Jesus said in John 17, he said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with your truth, for your word is truth. I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified.
Amen.
By the truth.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? So that's what happens. You start sanctifying yourself. With the truth, you start knowing who you are. You start becoming secure, stable.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.